This is the Biz News Podcast, one-on-one conversations with experts in business and personal development.
Nikki Bilou says he has interviewed more than 300 of the world's top thought leaders, including people like Jack Canfield and John Maxwell. So what does one learn about life, love, and perhaps even business after listening to so many experts? In this edition of Biz News Interviews, Mr. Bilou tells us. Your biography says you've interviewed literally hundreds of thought leaders and you've worked with countless entrepreneurs. So out of all of that, what's the most important lesson that you have learned?
The most important lesson I learned was from my late father. And he was a businessman. He was an uplifter of human beings. He was the kind of man that if you knew him and you were looking for work, he'd make phone calls and find you a job. If you knew him and you were trying to start a business, he would sit down with you. He'd bring other successful entrepreneurs to the table, and he would help you find a job. He knew you and you were looking to buy a car, a house, or an apartment. You didn't quite have enough money. He would top you up. And you might be thinking to yourself, okay, wait a minute, Nikki, is this a fairy tale? Or who does that? Well, the late, great Napoleon Belew, for one. And why would he do that? Well, first of all, he was a devout Christian, and he believed he'd been blessed by God, and it was his duty as a devout Christian to share those blessings with others. But secondly, he did it because he could. He was a successful man. And he would always tell me, son, life is not about money or numbers. Life is about people. Even business is not about money. It's about people. And I'm like, Dad, what? He said, business is not about money. It's about people. I go, but you need money. He go, yeah, business is the lifeblood of money. You have to have money to operate a business, but it's not what it's about. And I'm like, Dad, help me understand this. And this is what he showed me. He said, business is about solving problems for people. When you do that, you earn the right to make a profit. The purpose of business, where all three of these intersect, is you solve acute problems for awesome people and you make an amazing profit. I'm like, wow. And that's the most important lesson that I've learned in my life.
How has that shaped your business?
My friend, I'm in the people business. What I do for a living is I work with entrepreneurs and I help them add a zero or two to their annual income while working 10 to 20 hours less a week. It's my entire mission to be of service to the entrepreneur. The best people in our society are its entrepreneurs.
Well, why doesn't everybody follow this path?
Hollywood has been telling us for decades, business people are bad and wrong and evil. That couldn't be further from the truth. Business people are our best people. They're the ones with the biggest hearts, the biggest visions, the desire to move the human race forward. That's what business people are. And I'm telling you, those people need support. They need help. They need somebody who's going to watch their back. They need somebody who's going to help them in the areas where they're weak. When they falter because they work so darn hard and they get burned out, they need somebody who's going to stand with them, lock arms with them, and lift them up and say, I got you.
How have you found your clients? Do you prospect for them, or have you become famous enough that your phone number stops ringing?
Well, my phone number doesn't ring off the hook, but at the moment, there are people that are seeking me out, which is wonderful. But I do what I do. I go out there and I put myself out there. One reason I come on shows like yours is I want to make a difference for the people listening. I want to inspire them. I want to give them faith and hope that there's somebody out there who understands them, cares about them, and wants to see them win. I want them to leave here feeling better. I want you, as the host, to go, wow, I brought the greatest host I've ever brought on my show, the greatest guest, I'm sorry, I've ever brought on my show. I want you to feel like, damn, I did a good thing. And then for me, I'm an old-fashioned businessman. I come on these shows to do those things for you, but I come on these shows to build relationships with you as a businessman and as a host. I want to build a relationship with you. I want you to get to know me, to like me, and to trust me. And I want to get to know and like and trust you. That's how I do business. I build relationships with people. Opportunities open up. That is it. So I come on shows. I go on stages. I go out to meetings. That's what I do. I call people in my network. That is Nikki Billu's way.
Well, Mickey, when you think about all of the successes you've had, what is the elevator pitch that you give to others that tells them about your success?
Well, I'm looking to speak to entrepreneurs, and I come to an entrepreneur like you, and I go, listen, Douglas, you're an entrepreneur. You've been in business for a period of time. If you're at a stage in your business where you are interested in growth and scale, so you want to go from where you are and double, triple, quadruple, fivefold, tenfold your business. What I do is I've got a very particular skill set that allows me to help you to add one to two zeros to your annual income. That is 10 to 100-fold your annual income, while learning how to work 10 to 20 hours less a week. Now, if that appeals to you as a concept, and you are a businessman who's growing, but also wants to have a bit of time and not necessarily burn out, then we have a reason to talk.
Is every solution pretty much the same, Mickey, or do you have to customize everything?
Well, every solution isn't the same. There's customization required, but 80% of what entrepreneurs that are looking to scale need to deal with is the same. 80%. Because most entrepreneurs are dealing with 3, 4, or 5 of what I'm about to tell you. So number one is they're good at what they do, but their focus is on what they do and not on their client. People don't buy their way into something. They buy their way out of something. They're not buying their way into your amazing product or program. They're buying their way out of hurt and pain in their life or their business. Most entrepreneurs don't understand that. They talk too much about their amazing program, their amazing product. Stop doing that. People don't buy their way into your program. They buy their way out of their pain. So I help you speak about people's pain. You asked me what I do. I didn't tell you I'm the biggest, I'm the best. I told you I help entrepreneurs who are at a stage in their business that they're looking to scale and don't want to burn out. I help them add a zero or two to their income while working 10 to 20 hours less a week. That's what I talk about. I didn't talk about me. I didn't talk about how amazing my methodology is. Talk to you about how I serve people and who I serve and what I do. That's what you need to do. That's number one. Most entrepreneurs don't do that. They talk about themselves. So I teach them how to stop doing that. Okay, that's very important. Secondly, most entrepreneurs don't know how to differentiate themselves. They go in the marketplace, you ask them what they do. Well, I'm an executive coach. I'm a realtor. I'm a mortgage agent. I own a wellness clinic. Really? Really? You think that's going to make you stand out? That people are going to hear that and they're going to just jump and run to give you their credit card or their dollar bills? No, they're not. Your message needs to be tailored to the people. Once again, your message needs to be about how you help people. It's about them. Your message needs to be tailored about how you solve problems for people. Remember what I showed you earlier over here that my father taught me? So almost every entrepreneur that I deal with does not have at the center of their messaging this paradigm. You follow me? Third thing that almost all entrepreneurs do that I've experienced is they undercharge. They undervalue what they offer. They don't ask for enough money.
Surely you jest about that.
I do not. Most entrepreneurs undercharge, and that hurts their client. And you might be going, what are you talking about? People love paying less. I dispute that. I mean, if you get a bargain in the grocery store and your favorite, bottle of ketchup cost a dollar less, sure, that's great. But I'm talking about qualitative difference. So allow me, if I can, to show you something. Okay? I'm going to show you two pens. There's this pen, and then there's this pen.
Okay, two pens.
Two pens. They both write. Both of them. You can sign contracts with them and sign papers. This is a plastic pen. It's kind of broken slightly. Doesn't feel that nice in the hand. And this is an Italian-made Mont Blanc Meisterstück.
You skipped a few lunches to pay for that.
Nope, I didn't skip any lunches to pay for that. But I'll tell you this right now. Which of these pens is a pen that you believe you would enjoy using more?
I don't think there's much doubt about that.
Right. Now, this is just a pen. Now, imagine, Douglas, that you're a relationship coach. And imagine that you work with men whose wives have left them. And your promise is, I'm going to help you get her back. Let's just imagine that, okay? And these men are all multimillionaire business owners. And one of them's come and heard you speak, and he's convinced he needs your help. Let's say that one is me. Douglas, I'm ready. Let's work together. And you go, great, Nikki, here's how it works. Here's how it goes. And I go, great, what's the investment? And you go, oh, $50. Now, I have a multi-million dollar net worth. My wife has left me. I'm about to lose half my net worth, plus a whole lot of emotional pain is about to come my way. And you're telling me that you're going to charge me $50. I don't believe that someone can help me, a man in my position, for $50. Now, if you said $50,000, I may not like the price, but I would understand why you would charge that kind of money to help solve a multi-million dollar problem. There's something called expectancy bias. People expect more from that which they pay more for. Now, if you're comparing apples to apples, of course you want a deal. But if you're looking at delivering a service and creating an outcome for people, people are more concerned about the outcome than they are about the deal. And that's what you got to understand. So, fourth, far too many business owners are doing things that don't work to get them clients. They're doing, for example, Facebook ads. Well, Facebook changed the algorithm, so did Apple. So you can't target the way you used to. So Facebook ads aren't working as well. Maybe they worked 4 or 5 years ago. They're not working now. They're doing launches. They're doing all kinds of crazy things. Well, I teach people to use strategies that get your clients today, not strategies that worked 4 or 5 years ago. And there's a number of them. I've got 11 strategies that I show people they can go through. Right. And then finally, almost all entrepreneurs are lone wolves. They want to do things alone. And I show them that it's better to be a part of a community of entrepreneurs, because that'll help you learn from your fellow entrepreneurs. That'll help you be pulled forward on the days that you don't feel so good. So these are some of the things that entrepreneurs have in common. And I make sure that I teach all of this to all the entrepreneurs. But as an example, your issue could be none of, you know, these things, except for the fact that you're undercharged. Maybe that's really all I need to focus on you with. The rest you got covered. Or maybe you don't undercharge, but your messaging stinks. That's a technical term. So there is some customization in that respect. But we need to make sure we cover off all the bases.
Now, while we have time, I want to delve into another area that you have been very keen about, and that is service-based leadership. Would you please explain briefly what it is but more extensively why it's important.
Look, you know, a lot of folks go into business and they get scared of selling. Selling frightens them because of negative connotations associated with it, from the old-fashioned Fuller Brush salesman. It does this, it does that, it slices, it dices. They don't want to be that guy. They don't want to be that gal. The problem is that in business, you got to sell. And if you refuse to sell, you will lose out on legitimate business you ought to get. So I racked my brains out about this and I thought, well, I don't look at sales as bad or negative. I look at it as great. It's an act of love, love selling. So I thought, let's look at how can we help people feel good about selling. Well, let's rebrand selling to serving. So you don't want to be sold, Douglas. I don't want to be sold. Nobody wants to be sold, but don't you love being served by a good person? And don't you love paying that person? Don't you love sending other people to go work with that person? You become a little bit of a salesperson for them, but you're serving those people. And that really is what it's all about. If you start to reframe selling into serving, and you start to think about how can I help this individual rather than how much money is going to my bank account. And that's a beautiful thing.
I wonder if you might have a website where people can get more information about you and what it is that you do.
Yeah, it's ecircleacademy.com is my main website, although I've got several. That's a good place to go.
And that is the letter E, the word circle?
Yeah, and then academy.com.
Okay, very good. And now we come to the blue book part of this quiz, and that is, what would you like to say that we have not had a chance to talk about?
Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. We're in a recession. There's a lot of people that are hurting. And it's important that you don't let what's going on around you kill off your hope. It's very important. You know, I'll finish off with a story. 5 years ago, a woman was introduced to us. She had been the country director for Canada for one of the world's oldest and largest personal development firms. She was a star. She brought a man on to help her run the business who she thought was very talented and could help her really take it to the next level. And at first it was great. But it's kind of like Steve Jobs back in the day with Apple when he brought John Sculley to help him run Apple. And like Steve and John, at first it was great, but after about a year or so, their visions of the future began to diverge. And the board sided with him in both cases, with Steve and with her, and they kicked her out of her own company. How the hell do you get kicked out of a company you helped start, right? It's crazy, but it happened. And she was bereft, she was lost, she didn't know what to do next. She was brought to us. We poured ourselves into her. We helped her get clear on what she wanted, helped her get clear on who she wanted to help, what type of help they needed. We helped her get clear on how to serve, not sell to these people. So she went out, she spoke to these folks, and wow. Within her first month, she made $10,000 profit. Within her second month, she made $13,000 profit. Her fourth month, she made $18,000 profit. And in her fourth month, she made $62,200 profit. And that figure will become germane in a moment. Now, she lives in Ottawa, Ontario, which is about a five-hour drive away from Toronto. It's Canada's capital. My eldest son, he plays soccer. He was 12 at the time. He had a tournament in Ottawa. She has a son his age. Called her up and I said, "Hey, my son and I come in Ottawa for this tournament. How would you like to have your son and you come and watch us play, watch him play, and we could grab lunch together after?" And she said, "Great." So we did it. Everybody had a great time. We went our separate ways. A few weeks later, she was in Toronto. We had one of our quarterly branded thought leader immersion workshops. This is where we do a program to teach you how you can add that one to two zeros to your annual income. And we were at the point in the program where we did our upsell or our upserve. And I ask our clients to share their experience with people. I don't do it. And so I asked who would like to share. And before I could pick somebody, she bounds up on stage. She almost knocks me over. And I'm like, "Well, all right." She says, "I would." I'm like, "Okay, great. A lot of excitement, a lot of energy. This is great." She's standing in front of me, so I can only see her from the back, and her shoulders are heaving. I'm like, "What's going on?" And then I hear a sniffle. And I go, "She crying? Why is she crying? What did I do?" Right. But I'm maintaining a placid exterior. My lady comes on stage, gives her a tissue. She accepts it gracefully. She turns around and looks at me. She's still sniffling. She's still crying. She goes, "Nikki, you didn't know this, but when you and your little son came to visit me and my little son in Ottawa, my little son said, 'Mommy, mommy, where are we going? Who are we going to go meet?'" You know how little boys get, right? And she said, "Oh, sweetheart, we're going to go see Nikki Baloo and his son." And then she says, all of a sudden, my sweet little boy got really quiet, really serious, and said, "Oh, mommy, are we going to get to meet the man who saved our family?" And Douglas, I don't cry. I'm an old school man. Don't cry in public. But I cried that day. And we hugged. And in between her sobs and tears, she said, "Nikki, when I came to see you, the bank was about to foreclose on our home because we hadn't paid our mortgage in months. And my husband and I were fighting like cats and dogs every day in front of our kids. And they were scared that we were going to break up. And I was scared we were going to break up. You literally helped us turn things around and save our family." And we hugged some more, and everybody clapped, and she left. And we upsell to a year-long high-ticket program. It's an investment. And what happened was we handed out the registration forms. And normally, some people register, some people don't. And some people need to have a conversation. And on this day, everybody signed up on the spot. Everybody. That's the power of an authentic story.
You've been watching the Biz News Podcast. We welcome your input. Send your email to editor@biznews.com. Thanks for watching.